Hello, my name is Nick Bowery. I'm the curate at St Clement's Scottish Episcopal Church in Maastricht, Aberdeen, speaking to you on Gospel for Grampian, engaging and equipping communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Yesterday, the 2nd of February, was for many people remarkable as being Groundhog Day, the day upon which a groundhog emerges from its burrow and decides if winter is over early or not. If it is a cloudy, dull day, the groundhog assumes that the mild weather means winter is over, and it's time to probably come out of hibernation. However, if it is a clear, bright and cold day, the groundhog goes back into its burrow to sleep some more, as winter isn't over. However, for many Christians, the 2nd of February is a major festival, the presentation of the Lord in the temple. You can read the account of this in the second chapter of Luke, verses 22 to 38. This short section of Luke's Gospel tells of a faithful old man called Simeon and an old prophetess called Anna, who both lived in the temple precincts in Jerusalem. Simeon was a man of deep faith, righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit rested on him, is how Luke describes him. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Under Jewish law, Mary had to go to the temple 40 days after childbirth to be ritually cleansed and then to present her child in the temple and make an offering to God. And 40 days happens to be the 2nd of February. On this particular day, Simeon was guided by the Holy Spirit and encountered Mary and Joseph as they came to do what was required of them under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God and said the most famous words, which form what is called the Nunc Dimittis. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Just imagine the scene if you can. Simeon was so full of faith that despite waiting for so long for the Messiah, he was 100% confident that he would encounter the Messiah. He'd never doubted it for one minute. And he praised God and was then fully ready to die, having led a good life. Whilst this was happening, 84-year-old prophetess Anna also joins this strange cluster of folk in the temple. And she also started praising God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. In three short verses, verses 36 to 38 of Luke chapter 2, we find out so much about Anna. She'd been married for 7 years before her husband died, and then she moved into the temple precincts and lived a holy life, to my mind very much like a nun in a convent would do today. We're told she never left the temple and worshipped with fasting and prayer night and day. These verses from Luke give us a fascinating insight to the lives of two holy people in Jerusalem, and also into the faithfulness they had for God's word, their constancy and willingness to live a life of dedication to God. Although we may not practically be able to up sticks and go live in the precincts of, say, a large cathedral, and I'm not too certain they'd have us even if we did, we can learn from and be inspired by Simeon and Anna's faith and dedication to prayer and listening for God's word. In fact, listening seems to be a major component of their prayer. They have not monopolised their time with God by praying for themselves or by praying lists of requests for God to act in the lives of others. To my mind, they have understood that prayer includes a time of silence and stillness, to clear the chatter and noise from our minds, to go into receive mode, as I call it, and be willing to hear what God has to say to them. In our modern world, silence and contemplation are seldom found. Our own habits of filling our day with television, radio, staring at our mobile phone, tablet or computer screen, rushing from one place to another, does nothing for our abilities to listen to God in meaningful prayer. For some, silence is personally very scary. Do you really want to acknowledge the sort of thoughts and conversations you have with yourself? However, I would suggest that as Christians, it is our duty to find times for silence and contemplation, for times to come to terms with our internal chatter and the narrative we tell ourselves about our lives. for times to learn to love ourselves again, to slow down and acknowledge what is not right in our lives, and to listen to the promptings of God. For we know that God is not in the earthquakes and the storms, but in the silence. Jesus instructed us to love ourselves and to love one another, and there is a reason for it being in that order. You cannot truly reach out with compassion and love to another person if you have not come to terms with who you are and learnt that you are a child of God, whom God loves so much and invites you to love too. In all things we are asked to balance contemplation with action, to be both Mary and Martha, if you like. So I invite you to find some space for silence and to listen for the word of God. Loving Father, help us to still our minds, to find space in our lives for peace and silence. Help us to have the courage to become friends with ourselves, to hear our own mind's thoughts and deal gently and kindly with them. Remind us of the amazing faith and spiritual discipline of your servants Simeon and Anna, whenever we waver. And help us to have such faith that when the time comes, we can also own the words of the Nunc Dimittis and depart in peace into your loving arms. Amen.